Archie's here. Betty's here. Veronica too. Reggie's here. Hey Jughead, where are you? We wanna dance and we wanna sing. Have some fun and go adventuring. All our friends are here, but it ain't complete. We ain't the Archies without the Jughead beat. Whoa, Archie's here. Betty's here. Veronica too.
And welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU. We are the radio show that champions the local comic book store. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor, and the guy that forgot to mention that we're also podcast on comicbookdaily.com.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your golden ticket
through the wacky world of comic books.
Yes, we
and,
are.
And, you know, golden ticket. Why do I feel like we've just won some sort of draw to, you know, that Oompa Loompa Land or whatever that is,
the Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka, yeah. Didn't they have to find a golden ticket in a chocolate bar or something?
That was a great movie.
I don't know if I'd call it great, but sure, whatever. Anyways, here we are today again, Walter. It is Wednesday.
Yes, it is Wednesday. It's a new comic day. Comics are hitting the stands of your local comic book stores worldwide. And we encourage everybody to head into their local comic shops today or tomorrow or the weekend and check out what's new in the world of comics.
Well, you know, that is a great segue to our first sponsor for the day. New this week is, in fact, brought to you by Wizard World Toronto. From March 18th to the 20th at the Direct Energy Center, visit www.wizardworld.com for more info.
Excellent, Chris. And you and I and the whole Comic Book Daily gang will be at the Wizard World show.
Yes, we will be. I'm planning on being there myself on Friday and Sunday. And unfortunately, I won't be able to be there Saturday, but Sunday
right.
for sure.
Right. Okay. And your autograph session is when?
Let's tie 1 to 2.
1 to 2.
1 to 2.
Sundays.
Yes. Yes. Okay. If you want to come by and meet the hosts of Comic Culture, Walter will also be there on Sunday. And in fact, we're even going to do one of our radio broadcasts from that location.
The venue. Yeah, you're right.
So we're as long as we get electrical and we pay our bills and all that kind of stuff.
Excellent. Yes. We're looking forward to seeing everybody down there. But Chris, the show must go on.
Yes.
And we will start, as we always do, with new this week, and I thought from DC I'd try something cool today. I know that you are you enjoy the statues.
I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
the resins and the I think they remind you that
the resins and the poly stones and the
and I think everything that you told me once, they remind you of your first girlfriend a bit.
Is that because they're lifeless? First girlfriend, not my current girlfriend.
No, of course not.
No.
Chris, the Joker, 1/4 scale museum quality statue.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks really awesome. You know what? I actually have the listing here for the classic rendition of the Clown Prince of Crime is the latest addition to DC Direct's exclusive 1/4 scale museum quality statue series. This looks awesome. It looks absolutely fantastic. The only thing that doesn't look so good is the price.
Yes, it's a suggested retail $325.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? That's going to happen, right? And this thing is 1/4 scale, right?
Yes.
So this is – it's over a foot high. It's going to be –
You put four of them on top of each other. You got the damn Joker in front of you.
Well, pretty much. Or a whole lot of little Jokers all combined.
Combined into
one
big
great
one.
Big Joker.
Now, the thing I don't get with this – I mean, obviously, it's a selling ploy.
What's that?
What does museum quality mean?
You know what? I really don't know. I think that just means that it's really, really
nice.
Really, really
nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, if it wasn't, yeah, I mean, museum quality, like it's good enough to go into a museum.
Right? Yeah.
So if the museums could have it, damn it, you could have it in your mom's basement.
I'm not really too sure what kind of museums would have, you know, a whole bunch of Joker statues.
Right.
But you know what? Yeah, exactly.
Well, get the Getty Museum, I bet you, in Baltimore, the pop culture.
Yes, Getty Museum. It could go in there.
And one day, the current pop culture bubble that we are in, Chris, will be studied by anthropologists.
Absolutely, yes. They will.
Our show will be evidence.
Yes,
to the insanity that is going on.
They will look at those basements that you just talked about and say, "What the heck happened to our lifestyles here?" Yeah,
exactly.
Really.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? It is kind of a cool thing. Statues are still a big business, and you know what's funny is that they're actually a pretty good investment too. Sometimes, you know, some people buy one or two of these statues, and then they end up selling them for a lot more than they initially bought them for.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. All right, let's move it on to Marvel, and I want to talk about, very, very exciting for Spider-Man fans, number 656, featuring Spidey's new armor suit.
Because let's go back to the well from the 1990s and have spider armor.
Is this suit alive?
You know, it should be. It should be walking away on its own, really.
No, this is just like some sort of Kevlar.
It's not like the black Spidey suit that was actually alive and its own, the symbiote, you know, right. Costume kind of thing. This is just like him putting on armor to protect himself a little bit
right.
more.
Now, yeah. I'm seeing the pictures on the net. It kind of looks like Tron.
Yeah, I think they're going for that whole new, modern, ultra-modern, new wavy kind of look. And I can't say as I'm a fan of it. It looks really awkward looking.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know. And the fact that they're even calling it the all-power costume.
Right.
It just sounds wrong. It's, I don't know. I'm sure we're going to get a little bit of flack from the Spidey purists out there. I know some people already, you know what? Even our producer, James, is already giving me the thumb down, saying that I shouldn't be talking bad about it. But you know what?
Let's do a pool right here, right now, between you and me. Let's pick the issue. It's 656.
Yeah.
When does the red and blue come back? I say 663.
Yeah.
I should give it like 6-7 issues.
No, I'm going to say 668. I'm going to give it a full year.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm going to give it.
That's ambitious.
Oh, our producer James is saying 2 years.
Right.
Two issues. Sorry. Sorry.
I think he's just hopeful for 2 issues.
He was holding up two fingers. I thought he meant 2 years. Sorry.
No, that was one finger, Chris, for you he was holding up. But
he had them in both hands, so I thought he meant 2 years. So.
Okay. All right. DC, I'm going to go back to DC with Brightest Day,
yes.
number 22,
yep,
coming out
yep.
today. Geoff Johns, of course. Of course, the whole Brightest Day thing coming down to a wind down, I guess, in April,
yeah.
following off of the, was it Blackest Night, following off of the, whatever the heck it fell off of.
It's a huge event. But you know, you've actually proven my point. I'm not a big fan of these big events here, and the fact that we can't even remember from one big event to the next big event, it's all melding into the same thing. And
right.
you know, come on, enough already. Just get to the point.
Yeah, you're right. And I was reading something about the next thing coming. It's something called the Search.
Yeah, Brightest Day of the Search.
Right. And I think that starts out in June.
Yeah.
Which is...
Go ahead.
No. I don't know enough about it to talk
well,
about it.
Well, you know what? Another new hero is going to come back from the dead sort of thing, just like they're bringing back Aquaman and Dead Man. And, you know, so...
wait, Chris, back that up a bit. How do you bring back Dead Man?
Oh, come on, Boston Brand himself. He is a classic character created, you know, in part by Neil Adams. You know, you have to bring him back to his original form, I guess is the best way of saying it.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? And as all characters and as in all comics, nothing ever dies truly for forever. So you know what? Let's just make sure that you go out and support your local comic book store. Nothing to say to that there, Walt?
The way Chris set that up is like he had a beautiful segue into the music,
and then
he hit a button and nothing happened, and now I'm talking, spewing,
you know,
and killing time.
I don't know what you're talking about because I've got music right here. Here's a little bit of the old Green Hornet.
Hornet, his aide Cato, and their rolling arsenal, the Black Legion. On police records, a wanted criminal, the Green Hornet is really Britt Reed, owner-publisher of the Daily Sentinel. His dual identity known only to his secretary and to the district attorney. And now, to protect the rights and lives of decent citizens, rides the Green Hornet.
Chris, as always, picking those beautiful segues. And what better segue than the flight of the bumblebee into industry news? And industry news, people, is brought to you this week by Wizard World Toronto. From March 18th to the 20th at the Direct Energy Center, visit wizardworld.com for more info. And let us remind you that we will be at Wizard World.
Wait, wasn't Wizard World .com. Wasn't that our first sponsor, Walt?
Wizard World, the deep pockets that they have, apparently. Yeah. Our producer, Anthony Falcone, told me that they have bought up the slate of this show.
Oh,
the whole
wow.
Thing.
That's, you know, that's unheard of
in our show.
In our show. Yeah. That's fantastic. Okay, that's great.
Chris, so I'm surfing the net. I'm on comicbookdaily.com, and I see that they have the Conan trailer.
I saw that. That's fantastic.
So I click on the Conan trailer
and
getting all excited.
And
there's lots of edits and music and fade ins and fade outs.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing really.
And then what happened?
Nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
They got mist. They got like smoke, and in the smoke, you see a face of a witch.
Did you actually see Conan at least?
Yeah, you saw him do some sword play.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And, you know, it's coming out in August, and it looks good, but there's not enough of it to look at.
Well, maybe it's just a teaser, right? They're just trying to get you to, you know, get suckered in a little bit, and they want to know what you're going to think of it.
Well, I thought. I mean,
now, okay, did you at least see any bit of the new actor? Like, or was it? Like,
yeah, no. You saw him. He looks great.
Okay,
like, he's put on some pounds, and he looks, you know, like we all expect Conan. You know, because Arnold ruined it for everybody, but
right,
we expect
right.
Conan to be very beefy. But it wasn't really Arnold that ruined it; it was more like Frank Frazetta that ruined
it.
Right,
right,
he set
right,
the
right.
template for Conan, and so this guy's looking good. I don't mean that in a I meant that in a cinematic sort of way.
Hey-o.
Looking good, wielding that sword of his.
Walt, do I need to talk to your wife at all? I'm just asking.
No, but, okay. But it looks good. Now, what I would love to see, Chris, Hello. I'd love to see an Arnold cameo. I'd love to see an Arnold cameo somehow in this.
Right,
you
know, right.
Like a walking Bedouin or something like that.
Walking. You know what? You've got the, you know, for a guy that has, you know, English as a second language, you come up with some really good terms.
Yes.
Walking Bedouin.
A walking
like that.
Bedouin.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
And that would be cool. I mean, just some sort of homage to the past.
Yeah.
And I think you and I were talking a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
It would be super cool in the next one if you can have Conan and then King Conan
yeah.
in the same movie,
yeah,
like
for
a
sure.
sequence where it flashes forward to
yeah.
him as an
yeah.
old man on
and,
the throne.
And I got to give you credit for that, because you know what? When you first said it would be cool to have Conan, like Arnold as King Conan in the same movie as this new guy, I was thinking, like, what, are they going to have some sort of weird time travel thing where they meet each other? And all of a sudden, you know, images of that horrible Star Trek movie where, you know, Kirk met, you know, Picard and all that kind of stuff was
yeah.
coming in. And
yeah.
I thought, oh, God, this sounds terrible already. But then you said, you know, it's more like a Godfather kind of
right,
thing
yeah.
where it's like, you know, the old
Brando
guy.
And
yeah,
De Niro
yeah, yeah.
side by side.
And
right.
then I respected what you were saying.
Thanks
yeah,
very
yeah,
much,
yeah.
Chris. No, but I'm very excited. Conan, I think you just type in the Conan trailer and it's all over
yeah.
the net, so check it out. Chris, this is I thought this was kind of silly when I read it, so I just wanted your opinion.
Well, I like silly.
The Walking Dead trading cards.
That's pretty silly.
Yeah, so this company called, oh my goodness, oh my goodness.
It's called Oh My Goodness?
Cryptozoic. That might actually be right.
Cryptozoic? Did you actually say that? Oh my God, I think you actually said it right.
Yeah, and this summer they're coming out with a 72-card set.
Okay.
Along with some autographs from key cast members from the AMC cable, the show. So,
okay, No, hold on. I don't know about you. I mean, well, actually, we're roughly close in age here.
Right.
You're a few years older than I am. But you know, do you remember when you're collecting hockey cards and you'd go through the collections and you like need 'em, got 'em. You go through somebody else's collections.
You still love
and
it.
So are you going to do that with these ones now with The Walking Dead? And you come across like burnt out corpse number two, need 'em, zombie with half a leg, zombie with the ear missing, need 'em. You know,
you're absolutely right, and yeah, I think that's the way it would have to go. But the funny part about that, remember when we were doing those cards, I remember you'd be on the playground and you're about to go into school and not pay attention.
Just story of my life, get E's and F's.
and they're calling you stupid or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember, now you're rifling through those cards at literally 32 a second. And you have have a millisecond, and your mind is registering the player.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mind is registering your inventory at home, whether you have them or not.
Yeah.
You don't even have to see the card. You can just see the top of the guy's head. And you know, like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kids are pretty smart.
It's funny how, you can see just the top of the head. You'll know if you've got them, whether or not you have doubles or triple of them.
Right.
But yet, doing your multiplication tables or remembering who the main star of Moby Dick was or something like that. Not a clue.
As soon as you go, it's almost like they have like a dumb buffer thing at the store of the school.
Right.
You walk
that's
in
right.
and you're all of a sudden, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
good point.
How would zombies, would you play Leggies with these things? What was that game called where you stand up?
Wall leaners or something? You flick them against the wall.
They stand up and then the guy next to you can knock them down.
I think if they don't eat your hand, then you're okay.
I guess. Walking Dead fans, though. This is good for them. I think what they're doing, the whole Walking Dead people, is they're licensing their product. Their product, I guess, out to all kinds of weird different things now.
Because they
have until October for the new show to come out.
And you know what? I was perusing the Wizard World lineup for the show this coming weekend, and I believe one of the actors from the Walking Dead series is going to be there. One of the little kid type. I don't remember his name, but I just remember seeing that somebody from the Walking Dead series will be at that show.
So not one of the zombies or anything.
It's very possible. I don't know.
A couple of them.
We should get our resident zombie back in here once again.
You're absolutely right, John Miore, our resident zombie. When you mentioned that, Chris, I always hark back. I think we've mentioned this once or twice in the store. My favorite guest at the Motor City show. Is the guy that was in a stormtrooper suit. That is the guy that uttered the words, "These aren't the zombies we're looking for. Move along."
Hold on. I'm pretty sure the stormtrooper didn't say, "These aren't the zombies we're looking for." Although that would be an amazing movie.
Right.
Star Wars, the zombie version.
Right. Okay. All right. And then the guy that said, "These aren't the droids we're looking for." I mean, you know what? The guy could be sick that week, and he just gets his cousin Vinny to go, "Oh, man, I'm sick. Can you just cover for me?"
Absolutely.
This guy? Who the heck knows?
Yeah,
come on.
For sure. Nobody knows.
All right. We better move along because that's going nowhere fast. Chris, I think we alluded to this last show or the show before. The sale of expensive old comic books.
Yes, and there was a big one just recently.
Going through the roof. Well, it's confirmed that Hulk 181, the confirmation came in on the web, I guess, today or yesterday, that it received $150,000 from Comic Link. It sold on Comic Link. It wasn't on an auction. It was a guy that just basically posted it to a price that he figured, nobody will pay this. I'll just post it up. And it received $150,000. It was 9.9 grade.
Wow.
The only one graded at this grade.
Yeah.
So it's the highest graded highest graded copy. So, and this is on the heels of, that Amazing Spider-Man number, Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Yes.
That just sold for $1.1 million.
That's right, yeah.
Right? So, I mean.
So, you know what? I think this is a good point in the show to urge everybody who happens to be listening to go into your parent closets and into the attics and see,
your grandparents,
who might have some comics. Because you know what? You might have something that's worth something, right?
Absolutely. Like, and just to find out, to call Bigby Comics on Upper James.
And, or you can contact us through the show.
Oh, I mean, you can contact us through the show, of course.
Preferably me.
Of course. And, yeah, so you never know what's out there. Of course, Hulk 181 is the first appearance of Wolverine.
Oh, right,
I should have mentioned
right.
that. So, you have a character that what I wanted to ask you, Chris, right now is, okay, let's compare Superman today.
Yes.
With Wolverine today.
Right.
Okay. So obviously guys my age and older have some sort of allegiances to Superman.
Sure, sure.
Right? They have respect and he have to be paid his due. But young kids, are they Superman?
No,
right?
You know what? I think you're right and you're wrong. I think there's a lot of kids out there who still love Superman.
Right.
Even people, you know, I mean, we're a little bit older, but I think people our age really like it. But I think Superman still hits a chord with a lot of kids because of the kind of values that he stands up for and that kind of thing. And I think he's a clean-cut kind of character, and I think people still like it. Although, you know, people still do like Wolverine because...
Yeah, do you think Superman is as popular as Wolverine right now for, the 30 and unders?
That's a good question. You know what? I would have to say probably not as popular as Wolverine. I think he's still popular, but probably only because of the cartoons and just the sheer the fact that he's such a big icon.
Right, right. So I mean, $150,000 for a relatively modern book, what's considered a relatively modern book in comic book collecting, isn't that far-fetched when you consider that the best graded Superman, first appearance of Superman copy, Action Comics 1, got $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So basically that was an 8.5.
Yeah.
It got 10 times the value of the Wolverine, the Hulk 181, which was a 9.9.
Yeah.
Now, the purists obviously will say, hey, well, what's an Action 1, buddy? It's rarer. But it's not rarer. In the highest grade possible, there is only one Hulk 181, and there is only one Action 1. Over time, these things that matter to us now may not matter so much for the
absolutely.
Next generation.
And you're absolutely right.
Times
are
changing.
Yeah, I think the fact that, you know, as the generation, you know, as we get older, I don't think that the younger generation is going to care as much about the fact that Superman was the first major superhero, right?
Right.
I don't think that they're going to care about that. I think they're going to care about the fact that, you know, Wolverine's first appearance was Hulk 181.
Right, and he's the kickiest ass hero there is, and
Deadpool's,
most popular.
Deadpool's first appearance was in New Mutants in 97. 98, sorry. You know, and I think those are the kind of things that people care about because that's what interests them now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, they certainly have their place. Now, here's a question for you, and just very quickly while we're on this topic. I know years ago, we often said that Wolverine was the last great character to command a high price in comics. Do you think that's changed now? Do you think that maybe Deadpool is kind of creeping up on that title?
Yeah, in a way. The problem with the New Mutants 98 is that there are a lot of them around. So as of right now, even though the demand is high, the supply is high too.
Right.
But where you're seeing it perform very well is in the very, very high grades, like the 9.8 and that kind of stuff. It's commanding a good – because they are relatively scarce compared to demand.
Yes.
So and you know what? Those things will get sucked up into collections slowly over the years. You won't even notice it. And then 5, 7, 11 years from now, there's not that many, you know, New Mutant 98s out there for sale, and they're going to command higher prices.
So do you think now would you say that Deadpool has now become the latest character to have, you know, to be like the last great character kind of thing? Like before, we used to say that Wolverine was the last great character to be developed.
You know what? I'm not convinced yet that Deadpool is anywhere near Wolverine's level.
Okay.
I think that Marvel oversaturated Deadpool in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, true.
I think they did it with Wolverine, but I honestly think Wolverine's carrying it better than Deadpool.
Right. Okay.
I think Wolverine's numbers at our shop anyway are pretty steady. Deadpool's numbers fall off the more titles you put out.
Right.
So he's not there yet. Okay. But you know what? Nothing's written in stone, Chris, and there may be one that hasn't been introduced yet that will end up being just as big as these guys.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Now, you're a Sandman fan.
I am, yeah. Neil Gaiman.
So bad news out of Tinseltown is that the Eric Cripple?
Kripke.
Sorry. Eric Kripke.
Eric.
Kripke.
Yes. Yes. Not Eric Cripple.
Eric Kripke.
Or Erip. I don't know what Erip. I've never met an Erip before.
Erip?
Yeah. But you know what? Hey, whatever.
So anyway, he's the guy that did the Supernatural TV series and stuff, and he was slated to develop the Sandman, and he came out on a website and says that there will be no Sandman this year, and he didn't say it will never, I guess, be, but for now it's dead.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I think the Neil Gaiman series is a fantastic, great series that's really – it opened the doors for a lot of comic readers out there because it was something different. It was something that was a little more literary. It was really good as far as imagination. It delved into a lot of different mythos and things like that. And you know, it could not be done as a movie,
right?
But it's as a TV series, it would have been great.
Okay, what do you do with things like Sandman? Let's say Why the Last Man, that maybe have 8 or 9 or 10 graphic novels, and then the series is complete.
Yeah.
So I would imagine if you're doing a TV series, you would want you would want the ability to like on a cable or something
like
that.
Yeah.
You would want continuity. You would want to be able to go 8, 9 seasons
Sure.
or whatever like that. But the fact that the stories are finite, you get that conundrum, I guess, where – yeah, you know, we could make a 3-year run on cable,
yeah,
and then it's complete.
Yeah, which is okay too.
Would that be fine?
Well, I mean, there's not. I don't know how many series go much longer than 5 or 6 seasons these days. I mean, you know, you got. I mean, Buffy went what
eight, seven
series seasons rather. Lost finished after 6, and that was you know, Lost was incredibly popular.
Yeah,
and
that
was
that's a good point.
Had a planned ending.
A good point.
You know, I think people they don't like it, but they appreciate that when there's a story wrap up. Right.
So
I don't think there's anything wrong with having you know a 6 or 7 graphic novel run. I think there's plenty of material there, and especially for the Sandman. I mean, plenty of stuff to happen in their run. It ran for 75 issues, so I think you know they could easily get you know 6 seasons out of it.
Really? 6 seasons? All right. Chris, we have to move on, and probably our favorite topic in the last half a year is the Spider-Man musical.
Oh, Bring Back the Dark or whatever it's called?
Or Turn Off the Dark.
Yeah, I think they should bring it back anyways.
Yes. Well, it's been postponed for a 6th time.
Oh.
I'm sorry, the opening day.
Yeah, yeah, because it's still going.
The premiere, yeah, the premiere. The previews are still going on. The premiere has been postponed for a 6th time to they've got a new director. They're working out. They're rewriting it. So everybody's hitting the panic button. And the weird part about this is that it still sells out.
Yeah.
And people are still going to see it, and it's still making a ton of money.
And, yeah, people still love it. You know, I thought it was interesting about the fact that the recent director quit, and now they brought on somebody new, and they're trying to you know, have, like, a new format to it. From what I'm reading is that people still love it, and it's still selling out.
My favorite quote here in the report was, "This is an epic ride, and the standing ovations we have seen from the preview audiences have confirmed our absolute faith in the project," Bono and Edge say.
Wow.
And to them I want to say, I think those are people standing to leave.
No, we don't know that. You know, I really think...
Oh, look, Bono. They're standing.
I say.
Are they clapping or are they leaving?
I'm pretty sure they're not English, but, you know.
I don't know an Irish accent. Apparently neither do I know English.
Oh, don't be stealing my lucky charms now. Oh, sorry. That was
right.
Totally leprechaunish. Sorry. I apologize. You know, it is going to be St. Patrick's Day.
So. Man, yes, but I like it too.
Oh, boy. Irish Spring. Here we go. All right.
That was pretty bad.
I still think that in order for us to give our honest opinion on this show, that the directors have to get in touch with us and send us free tickets to go see this show.
Directors, producers, promoters.
Anybody who happens to be listening.
Right. Anybody that is listening to the show that has, you know how, you know that 6-degree of separation thing?
Yeah.
Anybody that knows somebody connected
exactly,
to the show, get this show to them. And get our info to them and have them take us down to review the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's more than fair.
We can give them our honest opinion on the air.
I'm just going to estimate, but the amount we've covered it on this show, I'm estimating that maybe 32% of their gate is due to us.
I would think so, at least.
Or
at
close.
Least. Yeah, for sure.
Close.
For sure.
All right. Anyway, we wish Spidey the best of luck on Broadway.
Absolutely.
Because we want a superhero to just annihilate all Broadway records.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yes.
If it lasted longer than like Cats or Phantom of the Opera or Les Miserables.
It would be formidable.
You know what I think they should make a musical out of? I think that should be Josie and the Pussycats. And I got a little bit of the old music here just for that.
Jonas Brothers with Josie and the Pussycats. It's good stuff, Chris.
I thought that was Hanson.
Was that Hanson?
Anyway,
they're the same, aren't they?
Pretty much.
All right, Chris, we're all familiar with Jeff Smith.
Yes, the creator of Bone.
Yes, and the creator of Razzle.
Oh, right. Now Bone did extremely well as a comic, but it's almost like it did even better as a kid's graphic novel
Scholastic's translated into, I believe, 812 languages
at least.
Yes,
yeah. And then colorized,
right.
And
Turner
Broadcasting Color Theater. Yes. But you know what? Did a great job, and then he went on to do Razzle.
Yeah, Razzle is, I guess, more of an adult type of thing. It's about, it's about some sort of ex-military scientist who jumps between parallel universes, and it's not Bone.
No. Point. It's really not meant for kids.
And
not unlike Bone. Yeah.
Right. It's been optioned for some sort of theatrical, they're looking into making a movie or something out of it.
Oh, okay. Right? When you said theatrical, at first I thought you meant like a musical.
Another musical.
Like Razzle, Turn Off the Bone.
Gotta dance.
Yeah,
Turn Off the Bone.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, but I wanted to talk about why isn't Jeff Smith optioning Bone?
Well, you know what? Maybe he has some sort of creator rights that he wants to maintain.
Obviously he does. But I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that Bone might be the largest movie development for young kids.
Oh, for sure.
Ever.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? There would be at least five movies or so.
Oh, it would be just incredible.
For Bone.
Right.
And, but you know what? Who knows? Maybe he doesn't want to do it as a cartoon. Maybe he wants to do some sort of 3D animated thing.
Would you do that in how they did the Madagascar thing or the Ice Age thing?
As a 3D kind of computer generated, with those
great colors and that great Pixar type of feel.
Or would you do some sort of live action but special effects-y kind of stuff with little people walking around in suits like Oompa Loompas?
Oh, that'd be cool. Or I got an even better idea. Would you give it to those guys that did the old Rocket Robin Hood?
Oh, dear goodness. Please don't.
Where in one 30-minute episode, you had 2.5 minutes of content.
Yeah, that would be the Krantz Studios, who also did the Spider-Man cartoons. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure in the last season of both of those, they were pretty high on some sort of goofy juice.
Right,
something.
No, but, it's great. Razzle, great that Jeff Smith is. And this is what excites me about this, is now Jeff Smith is in under Hollywood's wing.
Yes,
he's getting
absolutely
a taste of the whole process with Razzle.
Yep.
And it's my hope that we're reporting soon.
It would be fantastic if we had
some sort of major development is going to happen with
Bone. I hope so.
I think that's the biggest cash cow since Lord of the Rings, honestly.
Absolutely. Well, it's a very Lord of the Rings type of, epic storyline, right?
Yes.
So that would be fantastic.
Excellent. Okay, Chris, I know you're a big fan of Wonder Woman.
Yes, I am a big fan of Wonder Woman and Linda Carter.
Linda Carter. Who's not a big
fan
of Wonder Woman?
Well, yeah, really. I agree.
He was every red-blooded Canadian
or she,
boy.
Whatever. Not really too sure what show you were watching, Walt. But,
right. That was the off-Broadway version.
Oh, boy.
Of Linda Carter.
Walt was seeing the casual version.
I thought you said Lindy Carter. He used to play for the Phillies. He used to play for the Flyers in 81, 82.
Walt loves his Wonder Woman with a little bit of stubble.
Okay.
Oh, Dan Carter, also known as Wonder Woman.
Carrie Elwes.
Yes, Carrie Elwes. Yeah,
Elwes. Carrie Elwes has signed on to the show. He's going to play, I guess, the CEO of the corporation that Linda Carter works for. No, it's not Linda Carter, though, is it?
No.
Who the heck is
it's
it now?
It's not even. It's going. Well, first of all, it's going to be Diana Prince.
Diana Prince. No, yes. There's some girl named Palicki.
Palicki. Do you have her name is not Palicki, I'm pretty sure. What is the, do you have the sheet there? Let me just take a look at that for a second. Let me read that.
Adrian Palicki, what do you want from me?
Be Palicki. Yeah, maybe it is right. Wow, okay, you could be right there. For a change, I'm shocked. I thought he would totally butchered that.
Yo, Adrian.
Adrian.
So what excited me, Elizabeth Hurley. I did not know they signed Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, she's
cast.
Also going to be in the new series
now
as well.
Now, she's apparently some character named Veronica Lake. Veronica.
I don't think it's Veronica Lake.
Hold on. Veronica Kale.
Veronica
Kale. And I think Elizabeth Hurley's a great addition. I think I think she would play Wonder Woman's mom well.
If she had to do that, she would be very good at that. But I think she's going to be part of this, like the CIA kind of thing or something like that. I mean, I don't really know, but you know what? I'm hearing things that people along the interwebs are saying that they don't think that this show is going to last before it's even started yet. But we got
haters.
We've got David E. Kelly, who is the sort of the man behind all this, and he has been behind many great TV series in the past, like Boston Legal and The Practice. That's right, yeah, and lots of other great shows. So I mean, I can't imagine why the show wouldn't go on.
Fair enough. I'm just happy that we're reading.
Unless, of course, it's Walt's version of Wonder Woman, where it's Men in Drag or something. I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There isn't. Of course there's not. But
saying.
No. I just like the fact that we're reading new stuff about...
Yes.
Excuse me. My voice is changing. New stuff... New stuff about the show every week, it seems. We're getting updates. We're getting progress reports on the show, which is good for the fans. We're always reading about it. We're getting more and more excited with new cast members, even though Carrie Elwes here isn't guy I know. But.
Well, he's been in a lot of things. He was in The Princess Bride. He was in Saw. He's been in a lot of different shows, a lot of different movies over the years. He was in Robin Hood, Men of Tights. Men in Tights, not Men of Tights. Men in Tights.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we've peaked Walt up.
All right. Listen, I don't think, you know what, Chris? As much as we can try, I don't really know if we can butcher this segment any more than we have. But let's just leave it. Let's just leave a dead horse.
That is an excellent idea. Let sleeping dogs lie.
Let sleeping dogs lie. Yes. Yeah. And Chris, help me out. What are we going to do? Are we going to do music?
Sure. You know what? I've got another song queued up here.
Cue it up, buddy.
We got a little bit of the old G.I. Joe cartoon coming up here for you.
Yo, Joe.
Fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
That was, of course, G.I. Joe, the old cartoon, and I'm pretty sure Walt used to like watching that as well, but he was always secretly hoping to watch Wonder Woman dressed in drag.
No, I was not, Chris. I never, ever, ever watched an episode of G.I. Joe.
Oh, well, yeah, it's probably a little too not your time.
I was already. Anyway, Chris, we're continuing on with industry news. Before we hit a really cool topic that you and I are going to talk about today at the end of the show, but you're a big video gamer.
Yeah, a little. Well, I wouldn't say big, but yeah, I do enjoy them, yeah.
Okay, Batman Arkham City.
Batman Arkham City, yeah. Well, this is the sequel to Batman Arkham Asylum, which is, of course, one of the best comic book video games ever made.
I think...
Bar none.
No, I think you're actually right. I think actually on comicbookdaily.com, Anthony Falcone had his column that picked Arkham Asylum as the best video game ever.
Yeah, it is phenomenal.
Arkham City... It ships in October.
Yeah, and they're already starting to take pre-orders for it now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Because I was just going to say, it's flipping March.
Yeah.
Who cares about a video game coming out in October?
But yeah, they're already taking pre-orders for it, and you know what? It's I can see why, because it is a phenomenal game. You know, the first... game had all of had Batman going into Arkham Asylum, sort of battling all of the crazy villains that reside in Arkham. And now what's happened is the storyline is now taking outside of Arkham into the city, and the Joker has taken over the rest of the whole city, and so now Batman has to go around the city and battle all these different villains and things like that.
Right, kick some butt.
Yeah.
Right. So now, is this just like one CD type thing that you buy?
Yeah, it's not like not like one of those like World of Warcraft kind of things or anything like that.
Right.
It's just you go to your local video game store or something like that. You buy it and you play it on your Xbox or your PlayStation or whatever it happens to be.
Right. Okay. And so what would obviously it's coming on October, and this will probably be the $1 billion seller for next year for gamers for Christmas.
For
everybody
sure.
Get it for Christmas.
Yeah.
What would that go for? $40, $50?
No, probably like $64.95 or something like that, or maybe $59.95, something
now,
like that.
Now, is that whole game, is it all going to be there and that's done, or is it a build game where you get other ones?
No, the only thing that you can probably do is, like a lot of the games that come out these days, is once you go online, so you play the game and then you can go online and you can buy add-ons to them. So if you want to play, maybe they've made another house, like another map or another character you can buy, and then the character will come on into the game.
Right. Now you were telling me last week you bought some add-on. How'd that work out for you?
You know, that was great for my Red Dead Redemption game, but that was the cowboy game that I really liked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And for nothing else.
Right.
I don't know what you're getting at there, but for nothing else.
Okay, so good. So Batman has jumped over, and he's now a major, major, major force in the video game world.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So Arkham Asylum,
yeah. Arkham City.
Arkham City is going to be huge.
It's going to be big.
They're already buzzed about it.
Yeah.
That DCU versus everybody
DC
else.
DC Universe
thing?
Online.
Versus
yep.
Capcom or something?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's something. No, hold on. That's something different. So you've got DC Universe Online, which is like, it's like a multiplayer game where you go online. You basically play online. But then what you're talking about now is the Marvel versus Capcom, you've got all the Marvel characters versus all the Capcom characters. Now, Capcom, for those of you who are listening who don't know, Capcom is the video video game company that developed video games like Darkstalkers, Street Fighter, Mega Man. It's all, you know, there's lots of different licenses that evolved from the Capcom license,
right,
from the company. And so what they've done is they've taken years ago they had a Marvel fighting game, they're called. So you get Spider-Man, you get Wolverine, and one player plays one guy, another player plays the other one, and you fight each other, right? And then now you've got Street Fighter, which was sort of the same thing, where you had, like, you know, all these different characters fight each other. And so now what they've done is they've taken the two companies and they're saying, okay, now it's going to be all the Marvel characters versus all the Capcom characters kind of thing. And it's become tremendously popular.
Wow. So I guess my point was that comic books, the invasion, the spillover into video games has been a massive success.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's just going to continue to grow as long as the video game companies make sure that they respect the characters and sort of the storylines and where the characters came from and that kind of thing. I think that these games will do very well. When they start to kind of fiddle around with the characters' origins and the way they look and that kind of thing, I think that's when they usually tend to fall off the scale a little bit.
Excellent. All right, Chris. So listen, we're going to end industry news right there and jump into our main topic. And we're going to talk about today. First of all, I'm going to read the sponsor. Or are you going to read
the sponsor? I'll read the sponsor. Right. Our next segment. It's a great segue into our next segment, Walt. Thank you very much. Our next segment is brought to you by Wizard World Toronto from March 18th to the 20th at the Direct Energy Center. Visit www.wizardworld.com for more info.
And of course, Comic Book Daily, Chris and I and the whole gang will be at the Wizard World show.
Yes, we will be. Yeah. We're going to be signing autographs and
recording our shows,
shaking hands,
kissing babies,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
and doing all that good stuff. So hopefully, please come by and say hi and say, hey, your show's crap, or I love your show, or any kind of feedback.
Don't just say that because we told you to say it, but say however you feel. Like, if you think the show's crap, then let us know. But if you think it's great, let us know too.
Excellent. All right, Chris. In honor of the show, in honor of the Wizard World Con, we want to talk about comic book convention. The comic book convention season is upon us.
You know what? I actually posted a little blurb on comicbookdaily.com about the number of shows that are actually coming up, and there's a ton of shows.
There is three shows a week.
It's kind of crazy. For the whole summer, there's a lot of shows going on, almost one every weekend, if not even more than, like you say, sometimes some weekends there's three or four in a weekend. And there's, you know, for those of you who have never been to a comic book convention, I think it's a fun thing to go and check it out. Even if you're not remotely interested in comic books, because usually there's way more going on than just comics. There's movies and video games and
you don't have to be even fan of comic books to go and enjoy a comic book convention.
No, not at all.
If you're a fan of just pop culture in general, if you like people watching, if you like, I learned this word last week, Chris, cosplay.
Yeah, cosplay. Yeah, for those of you who don't know what cosplay is. Cosplay is like costume play, where people get dressed up in costumes, and there's all kinds of people out there who are dressing up in costumes.
Like guys dressed up as Wonder Woman and guys like that. So.
I knew we would hit on a topic for you like that, Walt. I know that's your secret love. It's okay.
And that's a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it could be a beautiful thing, but then it couldn't be, right? So it just depends.
You know, cosplay is actually a big thing, and pretty soon I want to start having people on the show who are professional cosplay players.
Wait a minute. There are professional cosplay players. You're telling me this?
Yeah, absolutely. There are people that travel around North America dressing up as sort of like a professional. Yeah, I mean, they usually have like side jobs as well, but there are people that go from one show to the next, and they try to, you know, they make money and they get the other pictures taken and all that kind of stuff.
Now, I've been to shows, Chris. These guys, the guys or the girls or whoever, with the really good costumes, like with the really elaborate costumes, they have no time, these people. Every 5 feet, they're stopped. Yeah. They go, oh, you know, can we have a group picture? Yeah. Can we have a picture? Can you stand beside this one?
I almost feel sorry for them because, you know what, they go to these conventions, and I know they're just trying to have fun themselves, but man, they get mobbed by all these, like, fanboys and people, and they're just like, you know, they don't get a second to themselves.
Now, Chris, God bless them. God bless everybody, but I remember the show you and I were at.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's like going to a wedding, and you know, and you know your wife or your girlfriend, you go to the wedding, and they walk in and they see a girl across the way, and she's got the same gown, you know.
I
remember you and I, we were at the booth, and there was I think it was Wonder Woman.
There
was a beautiful Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
and just like three booths down, there was another Wonder Woman. And how can I say this? She also was beautiful, but in other ways.
Completely, yeah.
Right. But, and, and, I remember she was in tears, that other Wonder Woman, because all the guys were taking pictures with this Wonder Woman.
And not her.
And not her, because she forgot to wear her push-up bra.
Right. Right. Pretty much that was
pretty
it.
Pretty much,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
some small subtlety like that. Yeah. And it's devastating.
Oh,
this
yeah,
is
for
serious
sure.
stuff,
sure.
this cosplay stuff.
And you know what's funny is that, conversely, there are some
conversely,
there are some people that go to these conventions dressed up, and they're not prepared for the onslaught of people Googling them and, mm-hmm. and taking photos of them and all that kind of stuff. And they become really self-conscious. And they become really, you know, insecure about what they're wearing and what mm-hmm. what's going on. When people, they just want to enjoy and partake in the fun.
I can't figure that out, right? You can't figure, like, why would somebody wear, like, a thong?
Yeah, pretty much.
And, like, and then not understand why people are looking at them for...
I don't like the way that person's looking
yeah,
at me.
Yeah, why is he looking at my rear?
I should have worn more than my bra and panties. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, not me. I mean, like, right. people at the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't need that. Yeah. In the words of... Anyway. So it's a big topic, Chris. It's a big, big topic. We don't even know where to start. I mean, we haven't even started and we've spent 5 minutes talking.
Okay, so let's just very quickly, let's talk about, you know, if you're going to go to the show, what are the kind of things that you should think about bringing or doing?
Right. So you're going to a con. It doesn't have to be the Wizard World show this weekend in Toronto. It could be in New York next weekend, in Los Angeles, San Diego. It doesn't matter where. Go to a comic book convention this year. If you've never been to one, make it a mandate this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a comic book convention that's in my local area, that's a 2-3 hour drive if
yeah.
I'm not in a bigger city. Pick the dates, pick the time, and just plan for it. You're going to have a great, great time.
I agree.
But like I said, Chris and I will go over a few things that you should
think
consider.
About.
Yeah. One, you know, safety and security.
Yes. So you,
people
I think
forget.
You, yeah, you should, oh, you know... Like everywhere, there's going to be big crowds. You know, you want to make sure it's – if you've never been to one of these shows, you should take somebody with you.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you have to hold hands or anything like that. But, you know, take somebody with you because it can be daunting. It can be very overwhelming sometimes. So, you know, and if you decide that you want to split up, set up a time where you're going to meet that person at a particular time in a particular place. Hey, I'm going to meet you over at the Spider-Man statue or whatever. Like, you know,
right,
whatever
yeah,
happens to be.
Map it all out and you communicate. Some people I know, they just bring walkie-talkies.
Yep,
they're
yep.
so overwhelming, these conventions. They bring walkie-talkies.
Yeah, don't count on being able to use your cell because
yeah.
you won't hear it.
Right.
It's sometimes it's extremely difficult to hear anything in these shows.
I mean, even issues like I've seen it before. Oh man, did I leave my bag here?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I go, well, buddy, no, I don't see it, right? And then like you're going from booth to booth. You're making purchases
yeah.
here. You're making purchases there. You're piling it all. You're leaving it on. You're leaving it right beside you as you're leafing through a guy's bins or through a guy's
yeah.
toys or something like that. And then it's really easy to forget the stuff.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
So
yeah.
you have to kind of have a plan. What's really, really good that we recommend is a lot of people, not everybody, unfortunately, but there is going to be a good group of people that will know their local comic shop,
yes.
the shop that they frequent.
Yep. Yep.
That will be set up there.
Yep.
Talk to the guy. You know the guy or the girl there at the counter and say, hey, you know what? I have my purchases here. Can I leave them behind your
yeah,
table?
And any store or any dealer there worth their salt will say, hey, you know what? Sure, no problem.
Especially if they know you and especially if they're spending their money at your shop.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
They will gladly do that service for you. And that'll save you grief. I mean, I've seen guys lugging around huge toys.
Oh.
And oh, my God. It's like, what the heck's he doing?
You know what?
Right?
It always boggles my mind when I see people lugging around full boxes of comics
right.
at these shows. And I just think, you know, can't you just leave them somewhere, I mean, for a
right.
few minutes?
Well, some people unfortunately can't, but,
yeah.
you know, so even then you should know that perhaps the person that you purchased from,
yeah.
you can just say, hey, you know what, I'm obviously going to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you don't mind, I'll leave them behind your booth, you know,
that's right.
and
yeah.
I'll pick them up at the end
yeah.
of the show and stuff like that. And all that can be easily done.
Absolutely. You know, and so what's next on our list of things to talk about?
Well, I mean, we can talk about, I always think if you bring cash.
Yep. Cash is king.
Cash
sure.
is king. You're absolutely
yep.
right.
Yep. You know, there's not, I mean, some booths, you know, take credit card or debit, but not everybody does. And, you know, bring cash ahead of time because if you go to a convention center, chances are if you want to use one of the ATMs that are there, either A, they may be empty already because that has happened before, or B, they're going to charge you $4 or $5 just to use that particular ATM in you know, addition to whatever your bank is going to charge you. So, you know what, bring cash ahead of time and be prepared.
Right. And you know what, if it's the thing, you know, you're negotiating over a toy or over a book or over a poster, and it's $50 versus $40, and it's different if you've, you know, if you've got your Visa there and he's looking at your Visa,
yeah,
or if you've got two 20s sitting there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the guy will go, yeah, okay, I'll take your $40.
Yeah, if they already see the money in your hand,
yeah,
and it's out and it's ready to go.
Yeah. But if they've brought it to the show, they don't want to take it home.
No, that's right. And you know what's funny? I was going to in conjunction with that, if you're ever trying to haggle with a dealer, you have to be prepared to walk away. If you have a price that you've set in mind that you want to pay for something, don't go up to a dealer and say, hey, will you take $20 for this $50 item? And when they say no, you know,
okay, here's my 50.
Okay, here's your 50, because then he knows that he's got you. But if you say, hey, here's $20, would you take 20 for this $50 item? And he says no, you just say, okay, fine, no problem, walk away.
Chris, that's an excellent segue into haggling, which is on our list, but you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, people, if you go to the con, these are all things that you want.
Yeah.
None of these things you need.
That's right. Yeah, that's a great point. Yes.
These are all things that you want. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, obviously, if you're a savvy – here's the difference, right? If you're a savvy collector – and, for example, if you know that you're looking for, I don't know, you know, Archie number 209,
right,
whatever.
Sure, whatever it happens to be.
A $40 book.
Yeah.
And you've traveled the circuit and the cons, and you've never seen one.
Yeah.
And you go to the first booth you see an Archie 209.
Buy it.
You buy it, right?
Yes.
But if you're new to the thing and you're looking for toys and stuff like that, you know what? Work the room. Go from booth to booth. Compare prices. You know, odds are that if it's a popular item, like a Star Wars toy or something like that, many dealers will have it.
Right? Yeah, but you know what? You brought up a good point. You know, I've been to many shows with a lot of different friends, and you know, we'll start the show out. And he'll, you know, I've gone with a friend, and he'll look at a book or something. He'll say, "Oh, I'll come back for it. I need this, and it's a good price, but I'll come back for it." We go back, and it's gone,
yeah,
right?
Fair
so
enough.
You know, you got to, if there's something in particular you're really looking for, you got to be careful.
But that's Chris. Another, I don't know how you do the segues, Chris. I don't know. He's like, you read minds.
I do.
When you say, you know, sometimes I've gone with certain friends. Choosing who you're going to go with to the show is so important. So I mean, if you're in a situation where, you know, it's my day with the kids or something like that, don't go to a Comic-Con.
No.
You know, don't go to a Comic-Con by yourself with a little guy in a stroller and his older sister kind of tugging at your leg and stuff like that, because there's nothing that ruins rooting through those dollar bins like a kid going, oh,
yeah, especially if that's what you want to do,
right,
is root through dollar bins, then do not bring anybody who's impatient.
Right, right. You know,
and,
so
and, you know, and it
give the girlfriend your Visa and tell her to go shopping.
There you go.
And then you hit that car.
There you go.
Right.
One, you know, I know we're running out of time here, but very quickly, and I think it's a good point, is I don't think it's even on your list, is food. If you can, try to remember, if you're going to go to one of these conventions, try to eat ahead of time or afterwards, because if you want to eat while you're there, you're going to pay through the nose.
Or you know what? In your knapsack, tote bag, bring a sandwich.
Yeah, or something.
Bring some water.
Or
right,
water,
lots
lots
of water.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Right?
Because water and food at these conventions is ridiculously expensive. I mean, like $2.50, $3 for a bottle of water,
right,
and like $7 or $8 for a slice of pizza kind of thing.
And I think most importantly, when you're heading to a show, know where you're going. You're going to a pop culture comic book show. Just enjoy, right?
Yeah.
Like just marvel at everything you see.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
Just,
look around.
Yeah, look at the people in costumes and take your pictures and create your own memories.
Yeah, and take your time. You know what? These conventions can be a lot of fun. Don't just buzz through and say, oh, I've seen everything, I'm done. Because a lot of times, you know, you go through these shows and you end up missing a lot of things in the
right.
shows. Because
stop and smell the smelly toy dealers.
Exactly.
I mean, smell the roses.
Smell the comic book mold.
Yeah, smell the mold.
Yeah.
You know, stop and smell it and enjoy.
All right. Well, you know, I think unfortunately we are running out of time here. But you know what? You should go to the comic book convention sometime soon and just to check it out.
Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and add your comments in the comments field at the bottom.
And you know what? Remember to visit us at the Comic Book Daily booth at the Wizard World Toronto.
Right, and support your local comic book store. And thank you, everybody, last week that listened and supported CFMU during our pledge week. Thanks very much.
We unfortunately, we were able to raise a lot of money, so CFMU and Comic Book Culture does thank you for that.